Come to the garden alone while the
Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found in three chapters of the Bible, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. This statement, you are the salt of the earth, is followed by you are the light of the world. But it's found right on the heels of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. So when we see this, we can see that Jesus uses something very common to illustrate, you know, a profound truth that God wants us to know. You know, he uses parables many, and a parable is simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used just basic things to teach profound truths from God. When we see here, Jesus uses here, he uses salt, and then he uses light. He uses two simple objects that everybody can relate to. And to illustrate our role as Christians, both have unique qualities and both fulfill an important functions in our lives. And really, they're demonstrating, Jesus is trying to drive home the point here, we're only going to deal with salt this morning, that he wants us to be salt. Now, let's go back to the text in Matthew 5:13. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Now, Lord, we thank you for your people. I pray, Lord, that you would just do your work today in your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much in this little parable here, but the main thrust is being different. Or you could use the word distinctive or distinctiveness. Now, you will know as salt is part of the food table, we call it, that we use, and it is different from any other foods. And it is by nature and it is by purpose. It's different. So are we to be different in this world? People ought to look to us as believers and say, there's something different about them by nature. How do you get a new nature? You get born again. Jesus told a very religious man in John chapter 3, "You, Nicodemus, you must be born again." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," that means he's saved, amen. That means he's trusted Christ as his Savior. That means he is born again. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." Salt. It's distinctive. It is by nature and by purpose different. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, Peter says this, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So by nature, we are a new creation in Christ. By purpose, he has called us out of a dark world to do his bidding or to do his work. You see here in verse 13, the disciples' character. The disciples are to, their place is to be the salt of the earth. Their mission is to salt the earth. And there's a danger in this at the last part of these, verse 13, is to be cast out or trodden underfoot of men. Is to be salt. See, salt never loses its salt. It can lose its saltiness, but it never loses its compound. If you're a geek or a science nut, you will know that salt is what? It's made of two compounds, sodium chloride. It is, and it'll always be sodium chloride, but salt can become contaminated. You know, back in the day when, you know, God made it, amen? Mm-hmm. Now, incidentally, God made you, right? But God made salt. That by and large, the salt that we have today that And I appreciate everyone bringing the tasty goodies for afterwards. And much of that has salt in it. Say amen to that, right? But much of our table salt is really not processed much. It is sodium chloride. Most of the salt we get today is they mine it from the sea where the tide goes out. There are salt fields in the Mediterranean and other places where they gather the salt. And then they clean it, amen, and then we use it. And then there's actually mines. They call them salt mines where they go in and they mine the salt. We know salt is a very important commodity. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I still have salt. Now, my doctor says that I'm probably eating too much salt, right? Boy, I guess I'm the only one that has a problem with that, amen? But anyhow. Amen. So what Jesus is saying, ye are the salt of the earth. He says, no, you could be like salt, or we want you to be like salt. No, he says, you are the salt of the earth. And your character is to be like salt. Believers are called and designed by God to salt the earth. And there's several things that we could say about salt this morning. I'm just going to cover a few. Salt is distinctive, as I've already said. It's different from any other food object which it's put upon. See, the power of salt lies in the difference. Believers, just as salt, are to be different from the world. Kind of like what Freddie was saying when he went over to the other side. We call Seattle the other side, amen. When he went over to the other side to Harbor View Burn Center in Seattle, which incidentally is probably the best place in the whole world to go if you get burned, right? And what were they looking for? They were looking for people like them that are different. Isn't it something how you can just travel? You can travel the world. Travel, you know, my wife and I just got back from traveling. You could go areas and you could see people, you know, and you interact with people. And it just seems sometimes you can tell when somebody has some saltiness in them. Right? Has that ever happened to you? If not, you can get wound up today and get it right, amen. But you just go and you just meet somebody, and it might be by the way you talk. You might, you know, someone said, man, it sure isn't smoky here. Glad the wind picked up. And someone will say, amen. Boy, that perks your interest, right? And you say, hey, they said amen, you know. I mean, many times I'll be interacting with people and I could tell, because the Bible does say that your spirit will bear witness that we are the children of God. Your spirit can bear witness that someone has some saltiness in them. They're different, amen? And many times I'll just straight up ask somebody, are you a believer? Well, yeah, you know. Sometimes I've got a different reaction about that, but it should be distinctive. It should be different from the world around them. Paul says in Romans 12, 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. Now listen to what James says in James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. Salt is different. It's distinctive. Amen. It doesn't enjoy the things of this world. You know, this has been said for centuries about that. God has put a God-shaped void in every man, woman, boy, and girl that only He can fill. So people spend their whole lives trying to fulfill this purpose that they know that they have, but only God can fulfill that purpose in their life. Sodium chloride, salt. Salt. It's a compound. It's God made it. So we think that chemically table salt consists of two elements which comprise the compound, and neither element occurs separately and free in nature, but are found bound together as a compound, sodium chloride. Jesus says, "He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son shall not perish, but have everlasting life." When you're bound up in Jesus, you can't separate yourself from it. Now, you can get out of fellowship. We know that, right? Sin will taint that fellowship. You might lose your saltiness, but I'm telling you, you'll never cease to be a child of God. Also, salt preserves. Do you know something? That God's people are God's preserving agents in a world that is corrupt and decaying. Your life is designed and commissioned by God. You are to preserve what is that good and right. Now, I don't know if you know this. You might be the only Jesus that somebody's going to see. God wants you to, you know, in Jude, verses 22 and 23, it says, "And some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." Let me tell you, you could be the biggest change in somebody's life. Somebody needs Jesus. You might be that preserving agent. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get there unless they see some difference in you. Amen. You know, Vance Havner, and I've said this before, but it has to be one of my favorite sayings that Vance Havner said about a believer being in this world. He says, "You're in the world, but you're not of the world, but you've been called out of the world to go back into the world to tell others how to get out of the world, and that's the only business that you have in the world." Amen. Praise the Lord, amen? That Brother Havner had the right perspective on the Christian experience. We are preserving agents. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, "And let it be," or your behavior, this is talking about you, believer. And remember who's writing this. This is Peter, right? He says, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." That is so awesome that God used Peter to do that. Also, we see in the Bible, we see that God wants to use us to penetrate. Not only is salt different, distinctive, and not only does salt preserve, but listen to this, salt penetrates. Now, unless it's illegal for you to have salt, amen, or your doctor says no more salt, man, that's pretty bland though, right? You use salt to cook. All right, my wife made some pulled pork. I promise you, there was plenty of salt in that pulled pork. Amen? And it really doesn't take a whole lot for it to penetrate. You know, we have believed the lie of the devil that we're not going to make a difference in this lost and dying world, right? That how can we, right? How can we make a difference? Let me tell you, the Lord wants you to make a difference in this world. As we are to preserve, amen, and be a preservative, right? But we are also to do something about it to penetrate this world. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, "And you put on the new man, which is after God, creating in Christ Jesus, righteousness and true holiness." Salt, when it's inserted into food, It creates a new quality, a new substance. Many times it takes the bland and gives life to it. It changes that which it's put upon. Likewise, we as believers, Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." We are to penetrate this dark and dying and decaying world. You know, People ought to be excited that we even came around. Amen. You know, and you know, we say this many times that we're to love the sinner and hate the sin. But if we're not careful, people, when we interact with them, they're going to see, man, they hate me. Do you see what I'm saying? I'd say, you know, I believe it's in Psalms or Proverbs, it says, it is the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. You know, I'm not saying, you know, we should condone it. We say it's okay. Jesus never did that. But you know what made Jesus different from the scribes and Pharisees? The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus sat with them, the sinners. He ate with them, something that they would never, ever do. See, the Pharisees had a complete wall about them. You know the sad part is today, Miss Lorelei, is there's a lot of Christians that have a wall about them. And you know what this wall is? This wall is, hey, when you do this and you do that, then we can visit. That's garbage, man. We need to get into the need of people. We need to be, you know, again, we're the only, Jesus, some will think. I think I need to turn to that address in Luke chapter 15. Didn't plan on going to Luke 15, but someone said something about a prodigal today, so you never know. Amen? But listen to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, then drew near unto him the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. Now listen to this, verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now Jesus didn't point his bony finger back at the Pharisees and scribes at this point and say, you guys are wicked sinners. No, he told them a story. Because, see, their attitude with the heart was they murmured and said, this man, Jesus, sitteth or receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And they could not stand that about Jesus, that he would actually do that. You know, some say that John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I say amen to that. That should be printed on gold and studded in diamonds. Amen. It is the greatest verse in the Bible. It is the gospel in a nutshell. But someone else said that this verse here is the gospel in a grumble. Because it is indeed the gospel, is it not? That this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And then he tells the story. Really, it's just one story, amen, that something was lost and it was found. There was a lost sheep and it was found. There was a lost coin and it was found. There was a lost son that was in the hog pen of life, amen, and he came back to the Father's house and he was found, amen. The gospel. See, we are to penetrate this lost and dying world with, come on, the gospel. And share the love of Jesus with people that need it. I think that if we're not careful, we will become professional Christians. Right? You know, it doesn't hurt once in a while to tell the guy laying under the truck changing the flat tire, thank you. I appreciate you. Amen? Do you ever go into a store and you just see the people that are doing the menial task? Did you ever just say, hey, you know what? A lost man taught me this. I was working with a lost man one time. We were in a grocery store. We were doing commercial refrigeration. And I was with this electrician. And there were some people there, you know, they're pretty rough people. And this one gal, she was pretty rough, you know. And you could tell she was having a hard day. Old Mike looked at her and he goes, hey, thanks for coming in today. Well, I'll tell you, that lady, I mean, before she was just, boy, she just started beaming. What was that? What was he telling her? He was telling her in so many words, Brother Steve, I care about you. And I could tell you're having a bad day. And I just want to cheer you up. Now, he didn't say all them words. All he told her was, hey, thanks for coming in today. try it sometime. After someone gets off the floor, pick them up and say, no, I really meant it. Amen. People need the love of Jesus. And you can, you know, you can't expect, you know, some people say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to tell people about the love of Jesus. No, I'm not. I'm supposed to train you to tell people the love of Jesus. Now, I'm supposed to do my part too. Amen. I mean, look at the verse. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Amen. See, you guys pay me to be good. And you all are good for nothing. Man, I said that in Casper and they didn't get it. It was like a 2-minute delay and then they started laughing at something I didn't want them laughing about. Amen? But you know what I mean. Amen? We are to be salty. So also we see that salt flavors. Amen? Salt flavors. It influences the thing it's on. It takes a bland, makes tasteless food, makes it enjoyable. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're talking about. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. See, if you don't have love, you know, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You're already in trouble. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And when your fellowship is right, amen, and your heart's right with God, and you desire to walk with Him, boy, it's going to change everything. And you know what? And people are going to see it. People are going to see it. They know that. You remember when they seen, I think it was Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when they seen Peter and John, and they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had what? That they had been with Jesus. They said, man, these guys, they're not learned, they're not scholars, they're not theologian, but man, something has happened to them. And you know what happened to them? They had been with Jesus. And that's a testimony. Here's one that's always hard for me. Salt is quiet. You know, it's just one of them things that, you know, it doesn't make no noise when you put it on the food. It just does its work. Right? Right? It's visible, but it works silently. You know, it just goes to work. Believers are to be the salt of the earth. Amen? Not the clanging drum of the world. Read 1 Corinthians chapter. You know, Paul said this. I'm going to read it. You guys keep looking at me like, man, you know, why don't you just read that, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Speaking about being quiet. I mean, and I'm speaking from a loudmouth man, amen? Right? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, anywhere where you see it in the King James Bible, the word charity means love, right? So he goes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become of a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What's he saying? He says, though I'm very eloquent, amen, though I'm very versed and know the Bible very good, right? But yet, if I don't have love, when I'm trying to witness to somebody, Alan, I'm trying to tell them of the love of Jesus, right? What, it's just bang, 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 bang. They ain't hearing that. Why? It's the way we carry ourselves, right? He goes, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And listen, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and of all knowledge, and though I have the faith that I could remove mountains and I have not charity, I am nothing. Love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, the saying we use a lot is people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You got to love them, amen? You got to get into the need of them. And you know, many times that doesn't take words. Come on, salt is quiet. It does its work. I think sometimes we just got to talk. You know, I remember many times on visitation with my wife, we go talk to people and, you know, try to witness them, try to help people, you know. And I've learned not to sit anywhere at a table near her, right? Because I'll start talking, right? And all of a sudden, boom, boom, man, my leg, what are you doing? What is she saying, Brother Steve? Well, you know what she's saying? Shut your mouth. Zip it, Mac. They don't need to hear that right now. What do they need? They just need to be loved. They don't need to be judged. You know, my old saying is, you don't have to tell a fat boy he's fat. He knows that. Just love him. Tell him about keto, amen. Listen to what he says, verse 3. He says, though I bestow all my goods and I feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Something shook my cage, and I heard this, and I repeated it. In the next verse here, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I had a pastor one time challenge me. He says, why don't you take the word charity out and put your name in there? See how you measure up. So I'll do that this morning. Right? Bobby suffereth long and is kind. Bobby envieth not. Bobby vaulted not itself and is not puffed up. Bobby does not behave himself unseemingly. I can't go on, amen? I already failed. Do you see what I'm saying? See my point? Put your name there and see how you measure up. And just love people, amen? You don't have to tell everybody, you know? You know what the problem with most Christians today is? They got to make all this noise, right? And that, you know what? I know our political system is a wreck. I know our states are a wreck. I know that there's people that are drunk with power and want to control your life and take over the world. I get that, amen? But are you called to fix everything? Are you called to get on social media and Facebook and start getting all real loud and everything? Or are you just going to trust God? You're going to do what God tells you to do. You know, it's interesting. The verse I read earlier, I'll read it again. It says, let your behavior, or what it means is your behavior, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Then Peter wrote that. Peter, insert open mouth, insert foot. Amen. Peter, the one that was always running his mouth when he shouldn't have been. You know, Vance Havner says he's the most American of all the disciples. You know, why do we always got to say something? We don't have to always say something. Look at Job. There, I don't know, I've never met anyone besides Paul in the New Testament went through stuff like Job did. Job lost everything, his family, his livestock, his wealth. Everything was wiped out in a day, right? And then his friends show up, his three friends. Hallelujah, glory to God. I got a friend, amen? And the Bible says that they came and they sat with him. I think it was 3 days or something, whatever. And they didn't say a word. Boy, if they would have just stayed there, amen, we probably wouldn't have the next 34 chapters of the Bible when they tried to straighten Job out for all his sin. And in the end, the Bible says Job sinned not. They did good until they started. So the next time you have the temptation to just go off, amen, just stop. Say, I want to be the salt of the earth. I want to be the light of the world. The next one, salt spreads its flavor about, has a wide spread effect. No other food does that, amen? You can't change the compound. Read the text. He says, you are the light of the world. It's in or the salt of the earth. It's interesting that Jesus said also in Mark chapter 9, I want you to see this because it's important. In Mark chapter 9, verses 49 through 50, you see you see here, Jesus says this about the Christian. Amen. He says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Listen to this. Verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it again? Have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. Be a salty Christian. Make a difference. Thessalonians says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 says, and study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. You know what that tells me? It's easy to go off. It's easy to not be quiet. But it takes spiritual discipline to choose your words correctly. Amen? Many times you look at Jesus, even towards the crucifixion, when they beat him and tearing his hair out and spitting on him and crucifying him, amen, and wanting him to react with words, he did not react. The Bible says he was led as a lamb, sheep to slaughter. It's hard to do, but the Lord wants you to be that person, amen. You know why? Because when the time comes to speak, he wants your speech to be seasoned with salt, to be a blessing, to add flavor, amen, to make a difference, to be a preservative in this world. The Bible says that a word fitly spoken are like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. The word spoken in the right time, in the right spirit, to the right person is precious in the sight of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be salt to this earth, because salt spreads and it makes a difference. I don't think there's very many women here today that in their kitchen they don't have the salt close, unless you're on a special diet or something like that. I know one thing, my wife has salt close. She has different kinds of salt, amen? And I know one thing, and man, I know you enjoy that, her biscuits and gravy. Well, you might not say amen, but the pot's usually empty by the time I take it home after men's breakfast. But I know one thing, when she's making that gravy, amen, she hates me talking about her cooking, amen. But I'm telling you, this is right up there. And I told them boys from the South, the North Carolina guys and stuff, they're always bragging. You know, Pat, they're always bragging. Oh, they got the best gravy, amen. Oh, you know, got to get that Southern cooking. Look, she's so humble, she's going out, amen. Amen. But is everything okay? Okay, I'm going to keep preaching here, okay? They're going to take care of what's ever going on there. But anyway, when she's making this stuff, right, I was telling this brother from the South, North Carolina, I was saying, yeah, I know you guys got all that gravy. You got them cathead biscuits and all that. I said, I will put my wife's gravy up against y'all's. Amen? But you notice something. When she's cooking it, I notice when she's cooking it, before she gets done, Brother Steve, she always takes a spoon. She goes, I want you to taste this. Amen? Do we need to call somebody? Is someone having a seizure or something? Someone needs to give me a report, because I am totally off balance right now. Thank you, Trent. Appreciate it. Something. Well, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just be with what's going on in the back. I have no idea what's going on. It sounds like someone needs you, Lord, and they need maybe some medical attention. I just pray that you would be with them and guide them and direct them. And, Lord, I pray that you'd be with this service now, Lord, and continue to bless. And, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that it's a lamp into our feet and a light into our path, Lord. I pray that you would guide and direct in Jesus' name. I'm just going to have Jonathan start playing with every head bowed, every eye closed, and no one looking around.